Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Well, the debate is underway in the Dáil as TDs will vote later on in a motion of confidence. The government looks set to win the vote, as some independent TDs have this morning indicated that they will vote with the government. So the Labour Party had tabled this motion of no confidence in the government following the ending of the evictions ban. But then the coalition amended the motion to read that Dáil Éireann has confidence in the government. Should the government lose today's vote, it will trigger a general election. Now, last night, the Dáil debated a Sinn Féin bill which seeks to extend the eviction ban. That's also been amended by the government. I'm joined in this studio by Fionnán Sheehan, Ireland editor at the Irish Independent. But before we talk to Fionnán, let's take a listen to the debate as it has been unfolding so far.
Ciann Comhairle, it's a truth never acknowledged, but I'm going to say it. Every party in this House seems to believe that the housing crisis was terribly mismanaged, except for the periods when they were in government. It's remarkably convenient, but not coherent. No wonder Sinn Féin is so happy. They get to be consistent and direct their ire at everyone, including the Labour Party. Of course, if you mention the housing crisis in the North, you're shouted down. They don't want voters to know what 20 years of on and off Sinn Féin government, replete with Sinn Féin housing, finance and deputy first ministers, really looks like. And they certainly don't want anyone to report on it.
Your record in government is low targets set, low targets missed. Deadlines set, deadlines missed. Figures announced, figures massaged. A government big on promises but very short on delivery. And the result of your failures is heartbreaking. Lives on hold for a generation, aspirations and dreams surrendered, a claustrophobic, stifling atmosphere where people now feel that no matter how hard they work, no matter when they do everything right, they still won't be able to build a decent future. Nero fiddles while Rome burns.
I have to say, I was disappointed to see the Labour Party table a motion of no confidence. I served in government with members of the Labour Party, and when it came to making the really hard decisions that were needed to get this country back on a sound economic footing, Labour never shirked their responsibility. You're the oldest party in this country. And believe it or not, James Connolly's parents actually came from beside Newbliss in County Monaghan, my own local village, and his memory is commemorated there. So I really hope Labour don't go down the road of populism. We have enough populism in this Dáil. We don't need any more.
This morning, Taoiseach, you've engaged in some political theatrics, some performative anger. You've spent more time lambasting Labour than you have setting out what you say government has achieved on housing. And yet you're accusing us in opposition of politicising housing. And that, for me, sums up the problem with your government. Because housing is political. And in choosing to lift the eviction ban in 3 days' time, you have engaged in making a political choice. And it's the wrong political choice. It's a political choice that is disastrous, catastrophic.
That's the debate, which is ongoing there. I just want to bring you a little bit more before we move on. It descended into rancour. Eamon Ryan, the Green Party leader, accused the opposition of failing to even mention a crucial safety net that he says was introduced last week to protect against homelessness. Let's just hear some of that back and forth across the benches.
Yes, we're absolutely fixated and determined in trying to prevent homelessness. But for not a single member of the opposition this morning, to refer to something that was agreed last week that's fundamental, significant, not conservative but progressive, which was the decision to put in a safety net so that we help and try and prevent that. You have not mentioned that once. It will be introduced on the 1st of April. If you're really interested in this issue, and if we're really interested in protecting it, if someone is in social welfare and is at risk of going into being evicted, we've expanded the tenant in situ programme so that the local authority. If I can make my point, Deputy O'Brien, I listen to you with respect. You need to listen to me.
There you go. That's a flavour of the back and forth, Fiona. And if you were to characterise it, you have Fine Gael and coalition ministers standing up and telling Labour they're being irresponsible and they're invested in populism in bringing this motion in the first place.
Heather Humphreys is fierce disappointed with the Labour Party because James Connolly's grandmother hailed from Newbliss in County Monaghan. That's where she's from. And this is a party who they have served in government with before. And now they're just descending into competition with their colleagues on the opposition benches populism.
Did you catch that pointed reference from Pascal Donoghue, Brendan Howlin and Jed Nash, who he has great respect for because they served together in the past.
And they served under him in respective government departments as well. So there was a lot of kind of dragging in of the Labour Party into the crisis here as well. Also, the point being made from the Fine Gael benches that the Labour Party has also occupied the public expenditure and housing portfolios in the course of the past decade, and things didn't improve either under their remit by the measure that is now being applied. Also, there's been a lot of throwback at Ivana Bacic on her big ticket item promise of 1 million homes. Now, when you break it down, it's not an unreasonable proposition. She's saying renovate 50,000, whether that's retrofitting or bringing back into housing stock and building 50,000. But she has had absolutely no detail whatsoever on how you go about doing this. So hence that has been kind of pitched as a populist promise. And it was quite striking at the weekend that Ivana Bacic, brilliant track record, extremely compassionate, great intellect and articulacy there. But when she comes under any scrutiny over the past 12 months as Labour Party leader, she really hasn't had the level of depth that you would have thought would have been in mind. There wasn't even little back of the envelope calculations here on how you would roll out those million houses. That has been thrown back on her.
So are you saying that has, from the coalition side, undermined this motion of no confidence?
Yeah, because they have used that as an example of really all you're doing here is competing with the other opposition parties going down the route of Sinn Féin. And also the underlying suggestion has been that Holly Cairn's election as leader of the Social Democrats and a subsequent polling boost has spooked the Labour Party, and they need to be seen to be getting back into the game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But when it comes to the vote on this, the coalition are unlikely to lose this one, because even this morning we were hearing about more names coming out from the independent benches saying, no, we're going to support them on this one.
Yeah, if you look at the numbers, Micheál Martin elected 3 years ago, nearly, 91 votes on the opposition side. The coalition parties plus 7 independents on that occasion. Leo Varadkar, elected by 87 votes. Then last week on the eviction ban, 83. It'll be there or thereabouts today. You could have a couple of independent TDs who will vote one way on the motion, no confidence, and another way on the eviction ban, depending on how it plays out. But there is a core group of independents there who they are still able to rely on most of the time. And the fact that this morning, Carl Berry, Sean Kenny, Dennis Nocton, Matt Shanahan said they will be voting with the government, that solidifies that majority again for another day. But it has very much, the past week has really put the focus on the independents. You were seeing that playing out in the Dáil last night as well, with accusations from the independent benches, both those who voted with the government and against the government, that they're all being tarred with the one brush, that they're being accused, particularly by Sinn Féin, of propping up the government, and those who vote against the government weren't happy with this. It was strange, Danny Healy-Ray, who did vote with the government last week, also wasn't happy with that. But that has been a tactic that Sinn Féin has deployed over the past couple of years. It's been something that Cathal Berry has identified previously, that you get targeted in local newspapers and local radio as you are a part of the government. But that's called politics.
Yep, and that's part of the game, as you say. Leo Varadkar then, his assertion that, look, nobody wants an election, and some people questioned that, said, well, there are some people who might want an election, but from what we see from the independents, is it clear that they do not want an election right now?
Yeah, well, I mean, you've got 45% of the Dáil who do want an election, and the people who they represent don't want this government in office. Yeah, it seems to be clear from the way the numbers are falling. And we'll know better later on two indications there. A, you vote with the government. Another way of voting with the government and not wanting a general election is to go missing for a vote. That can also happen on occasion. But no, the government will live to fight another. The Leo Varadkar point is, if this government collapses today, there's a general election, there's no government, and therefore you can't do anything about the eviction ban. The legislation that is in place is the legislation that comes into play on April the 1st.
Right. And what about Nasa Harrigan, the Green Party TD, who's now out of the fold for 15 months? She voted against the government on the principle of the ending of the eviction ban, which she didn't agree with. But what will she do when it comes to confidence in the government?
Yeah, a couple of people to watch today are Nasa Harrigan and Mark McSherry, who are now both outside of their party whips. Both voted against the government last week, and there was an expectation on the government side that Mark McSherry would vote with them last week on the eviction ban, and he didn't. There is now a question mark over the two of them. Do they swing in behind and say, well, no, I'd actually be happy enough for this government to continue in office, or can they pitch it in terms of saying, well, no, actually, because this motion is based upon the eviction ban, I fundamentally disagree with the position there, that therefore I'm going to vote against. Again, the Mark McSherry one is fairly straightforward. He's outside the party, full stop. The Nasa Harrigan one is a suspension, and therefore if she does vote against the government, that'll be thrown back again at the Green Party and say, look, I mean, what exactly is going on in your own ranks?
Yeah, and then how much will the picture change over the next few months if the predictions from the housing charities and the housing bodies comes true and there's a marked increase in homelessness?
There seems to be a view on the government side that this isn't all going to be an issue that comes flooding at them on April the 1st, that the number of outstanding eviction notices that are in play and the number of potential subsequent ones will take some time to play out, because you have to give notice to your tenants, and therefore they, in conjunction with the local authorities, will be able to manage this. Now, that's a bit of hidden hope, that you're hoping that it will be a gradual trickle as opposed to a straight out
like they've
flood.
Said no cliff edge. But they've just extended the cliff edge, as I understand it, from April to June, which would be the length of time that it would take those notice periods to play out.
Yeah, and existing ones will come into play as well. There seems to be a view that the pressure on the system will start to ramp up from around about the middle of April, and that from there on you will have a difficulty. What we also have to see is the theory that there are a number of landlords who are just waiting for this to end so they can get out of the market altogether and just sell up. And if you're looking at the latest property price figures and the suggestion that the market has peaked and that prices are now coming down, does that make some of those landlords turn around and say, listen, this is the last chance for you to get out? So you'd have to say there's a bit of fingers crossed element on the government bench side.
Things may change
very
dramatically.
Yeah,
or not,
very confident over the past 24 hours, talking to a number of ministers in Leinster House last night, that like this, today's votes would not be a problem. But their difficulty is going to be if motions like this
get
put again in May and June.
Now, the other big issue that we've been talking about a lot in the news is the report into the Defence Forces, which was published yesterday. A really shocking and stark report. What happens with that now? Where does it go? And how do you think government so far has handled it?
So there is due to be a dull debate on it. I think, you know, across the board there is universal condemnation of the practices that have been identified in this report. There are a number of significant changes coming down the track. There, a full inquiry has now been agreed by government. Also, a significant development is actually the removal of sexual assaults from under the jurisdiction of the military police. The government is now saying they will go to An Garda Síochána, full stop, and will therefore be played out in the civil courts. There's quite an archaic, to be quite honest about it, system in the Defence Forces around how such matters are dealt with through their court system. Yeah, fine, it's independent, but it is very, very different to what is now expected as common practice down in the civil courts, particularly around the handling of sexual assaults. That's probably a positive mood. What stood out for me yesterday, before you even get into the report, there's a glossary up the top on page 7, just after the contents. And it details phrases like beasting, medical boarding, mobbing, sick parade, tubbing. And tubbing is the placing of an individual in a barrel which may contain any combination of chemicals, oil, airplane fuel, deceased animal carcasses or other substances for the purposes of hazing or punishment. Before you even get into that report, it's being flagged to you, this is what's coming up. And there are examples of each of those then cited throughout the report. So it has turned into a broader issue than the treatment of women in the Defence Forces, and also the wide-ranging issues around bullying and harassment. Let's remember, last Friday night, the Department of Defence published a report on an incident in McKee Barracks 3 years ago. Very serious incident where an event basically turned into a drinking session. The independent report has been carried out on that, has now found that I was in breach in COVID-19. But what followed on from that event that night was assaults on two female officers, including sexual assault. And the findings of that report were equally serious and were kind of a microcosm of issues that were identified here in terms of delays in investigations, procedures not being followed, and so on and so forth. So what was telling about this report yesterday was that it didn't say the issues that have been raised in recent times on the Women of Honour report were historic. They're basically saying these are all current, ongoing issues in the Defence Forces.
Yes.
And that's why government has come down so heavy. And to have somebody of the weight of Micheál Martin as a former Taoiseach, as a long-serving member of government, coming out and saying that what's in this report is utterly unacceptable and they will take action, I don't think you can be more forceful as a government than that.
Yeah, you couldn't say anything else about it, really, given what's in there. Fionnán, thanks very much for coming in. That's Fionnán Sheehan. We'll take a break back after this.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.